Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I shall store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come. Good morning. I have a question for you. And this might be telling something from home. But do you have a box in your room of junk? No? Yeah. Of things that are of maybe broken toys or anything like that? You don't have anything like that? Well, okay. Mom and Dad, don't listen. Do you have a drawer at home in your cupboard that has what we call the junk drawer, that has all kinds of like rubber bands and broken things? And do you have anything like that? You don't know. Oh my goodness. We have one. Like every house we've ever lived in, we have one drawer in which we dump everything. Pencils and all kinds of things. And in fact, our kids used to put broken toys in there because they wanted to save them. But sometime you gotta take that box of junk and dump it out. Don't you? You might use it, that's true. But what happens if it's something you can't use? Do you still keep it? Now, you know, in the lesson today, the Apostle Paul was talking about the things in our lives that we really don't need. We don't need sin. We don't need to do bad things. And he said, get rid of all those bad things. You think that would be like having a junk drawer empty? Might be. You know, maybe you ought to go home and see if you've got a junk drawer. You could make one. I'll bet you could. Well, why don't you take
it? Because I have an empty drawer.
You have an empty drawer? How could that be? I never have empty drawers. But I've always got one that's got all that stuff I didn't know what to do with. And I just put it in there. But someday I have to clean it out. And that's what Paul tells us to do with our lives. When there's stuff in our lives that isn't good. You ever have bad habits? Do you once in a while have bad habits? Yeah, sometimes we have to let go of those too, right? Absolutely. Let's say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to empty our drawers of all the stuff that is not needed and empty our lives of the things that we don't need to do either. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to see your junk drawer someday. Well, the question is, what's it all about? Have you ever thought about what you want to do or what you want to be when you grow up? Now, some of you may think, well, that's a good question for the kids. But no, I think the oldest person in our congregation needs to ask that question.
I'm still looking.
You're still looking. Good, good. Well, the church needs to ask the question, too. What do we want to be when we grow up? Now, some people say, well, you're 100 years old. You should have grown up by now. No, most people don't grow up by 100. It takes longer, and we've got to figure out what we want to be at all times. We look into the future, and, you know, compared to the churches that we visited in Europe, 100 years is just a drop in the bucket. Many of them are over 1,000 years old. You know, they counted in hundreds of years, not just 100. So we can look into the future and try to see what it's like. And sometimes we get things in our lives that put us off kilter. Many years ago, a rabbi had a man come to him in Budapest and say, my life is absolutely unbearable. There are 9 of us living in a one-room apartment, and it's just intolerable. People hardly have any place to lay down and stretch out. We're so crowded in there. And he said, Rabbi, what do I do? The rabbi said, well, let me think a minute. He said, do you have a goat? And he said, well, yes, we have a goat in our shed. He said, this week I want you to bring that goat into your apartment and keep it there for the whole week. Well, he didn't thought that was the craziest thing he'd heard of, but he was going to go along with the rabbi. The next week he came back. And the rabbi said, well, how was life for you? He said, it was absolutely horrible. 9 people and a goat in one room. It was stinky. It was horrible. There was no room for anything. Well, the rabbi said, this week I want you to go home, take it back out to the shed, and then come back in a week. He came back in a week, and the rabbi said, well, how is life for you now? He said, it's absolutely wonderful. Only 9 people in one room and no goat. You see, it has to do with the perspective, how we see things. Harold Kushner wrote a book, When Everything You've Ever Wanted Isn't What You Wanted. And in that book, he says that most people, are not afraid to die. What they're afraid of is never having lived. Now think about that. Dying is easy. But have you really lived? As we look at what we want to be when we get older, when we grow up, we need to ask ourselves, are we really living? Do we really know what we want? You see, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he calls himself the teacher. Others have referred to him as the preacher. And I usually refer to the writer of Ecclesiastes as the gloomy Gus. I mean, you look at what he's writing. He starts right out. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's chasing after the wind. And then you read on and you realize there is nothing good in this universe. I mean, everything is bad. He starts out, he gives us 4 things that he looks at. And the first one is, he says, he looks at his wealth and he decides he's going to accumulate as much wealth and success as he possibly can. And then he says, yeah, but I'll do all that and I'll accomplish all of that and then I die. And my kids will go squander it. I mean, what good is that? That's vanity of vanities, of chasing after the wind. There's got to be more to life than just getting wealthy and successful. And then he says, you know what I'll do? I'm not going to give it to my kids. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to use it up. I'm going to live high, eat, drink, and be merry, because one day I'm going to die. And then he realizes, yeah, one day I'm going to die, and all that I've accomplished is wasted. What a waste of all of that. There's got to be more to life than this chasing after the wind. And the third thing he says is, you know what? I'll bet if I study really hard and I gain lots of knowledge and lots of wisdom, I will achieve what I want. And so he begins to do that. But in the end, he says, you know, when I die, where's that wisdom? Where's that knowledge going to be? It's all going to be lost. Again, vanity of vanities, a chasing after the wind. There's nothing there. He has a fourth one. You know what? I'm going to become religious. Oh, yeah. I'll go to church, actually go to synagogue. I'll pray every day, several times a day. I'll read all the scriptures. I'll study and I'll do everything the church asked me to do. I'll be on every committee. I'll be on the church council. I'll play in the bell choir. I'll do just absolutely everything. But in the end, he says, what's that going to get me? Because one day I'm going to die. It's all a chasing after the wind. There's got to be more to life than that. In fact, that's the conclusion Martin Luther came to. You know, he did absolutely, if you read his life, it's almost pathetic how much energy and effort he put into becoming perfect so that he could get into heaven. And in the end, he had to admit it didn't amount to anything, because he was saved by grace through faith, not through what he did. Carl Jung, the great psychoanalyst, once wrote that one-third of his patients, a full one-third, had no identifiable clinical neurosis. In other words, a third of his patients were perfectly healthy mentally. There was no real problem with them. But he said that third, which accounted for a good sizable number, were missing something in their life. And what they were missing was spirituality. A spiritual connection with God. They could do all of the religious stuff and feel empty. They could do everything that society asks them to do, but in the end, he too would have said, it's just a chasing after the wind. What they really were hungering for, the same thing Luther was hungering for, was a personal relationship with God. Knowing that God was in him and with him. Sue was telling me about a book that she read this week about some Amish women who were discussing. And I'm glad she's not here, because I'll probably mess the story up. But anyway, the two women were talking about going to worship. And the younger one said to the older one, do you really like going to worship? And she said, oh, yes. I love going to worship. And it was at that point that she realized, what was it about worship that she loved? How many of our members would say, I love going to worship? I would go to worship over anything. What are we missing? Because sometimes we don't go to worship, we go to church. Instead of being the church, we go to church. We go through the ritual. if the preacher isn't a good preacher, if the reader doesn't read correctly, if the organist plays a sour note, never happened with Julie, but you know what I'm saying. We can find all kinds of excuses, all kinds of things that don't fit. But if that's all we go to worship for, we're chasing after winds too. What all of these people are pointing to, and Paul points to it even more strongly when he tells the Colossians, don't seek the things that are on earth, but seek the things that are above. Seek the one who can live in you. That's what really counts. And if all of us were seeking to be closer to the Lord our God, worship would become truly exciting. Despite the fact that we can't sing all the hymns, despite the fact that the liturgy isn't always what we like, that's not why we're here. We're here because of the one who says to us, you are truly forgiven. You are so well loved that I die for you. You are so well loved that I would give my body and blood for you. Oh yeah, and that's why Jesus, when he is confronted by this man who wants his brother to divide the inheritance with him, says, well, he tells him the parable, of course, of the man who has a fantastically good crop and decides to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. But he says, yeah, but in the end, whose is it going to be? Again, a chasing after the wind. But seek the things that are above rather than the things that are on earth. Remember reading about a wealthy man who was so busy gathering his wealth that he really didn't pay much attention to his family. In fact, his wife and children hardly knew he existed. And when he died, this was in the days when they laid the body out in the parlor. His family came and showed their respect, but that was about it. And when they read the will, the man wrote in his will, I didn't know my family that well, didn't really care about them. So I sold everything, and I converted it to gold. Stocks, bonds, bank accounts, everything, all my property except the house, it's all converted into gold. I hid it in the attic so that when I go to heaven, I can pass through the attic and take it with me. Now, needless to say, the family all raced up to the attic after the will was read, and there was this beautiful chest of gold. His wife said, you know, maybe he should have put it in the basement instead. Well, the question again is, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? What do you want to be when it's all over? Do you want to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ or still seeking after all the goods of this world? May we as individuals and we as the church be constantly seeking ways so that we too can love to worship the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, regardless. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.